Mark 4 and hold that, and 2 Corinthians 6. You feel like you're fighting for everything right now, though? That's why we're tired. That's why we're fighting for everything. And that kind of fight and that kind of fortitude, you need something besides just your own strength.
Yes.
And you've got it in the Holy Spirit. And when you think about the power of God, we talked, man, we had such a wonderful time last night. But one of the things that we talked about was even when they came to arrest Jesus, this is what it says in John. When they came to arrest Jesus, here comes this crowd and they got swords. You know why they had swords and not 9 millimeters? Because they weren't invented yet. They would have showed up with nines. They showed up Glocks. They showed up with what they had, though, and they meant business. And they were coming to arrest Jesus by force. And you know what Jesus did? Because he was so afraid, he went up to them. He said, "Who are you looking for?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And what did he say? "I am he." And what did they do? They fell down. Hey, when he starts saying words like "I am," whatever follows that is somebody's going to get messed up.
Yes.
Nature's going to respond. Humanity is going to respond. Because he just announced "I am." Oh, we can't handle any more than that. And then they still got up to arrest him. There was a time I was reading another place in John, sharing some stuff with my son this week in our devotion time. Is it said this? It said, even though, I'm paraphrasing now, even though Jesus did many miracles in front of them, they still refused to believe him. That. But the God that we serve and the Son, Jesus Christ, is so powerful. When they came to arrest him, he was actually down for that. That was right on time. There were other times when they couldn't touch him. They wanted to kill him at other times, and he said, "It's not my time." They couldn't even touch him. He walked through a heated crowd. They were ready to kill him. They couldn't even touch him. But when it was his time, he said, "I am he." That kind of power is the God that you serve.
Yes.
I challenge you this week. When your mountain shows up, how many of you have a mountain that likes to resurrect itself? It's like you get it conquered, and you get on the phone with a believer, or you come to church and you get it conquered, and then by that afternoon, it just resurrected, and it seems even taller and even steeper now. You've seen these mountain climbers that climb wall faces. What amazes me is when they climb the wall face and then it starts doing this. That's a whole different animal right there. What they do and manipulate to get on top. But that's how our faith needs to be. It's not the mountain, it's the God of the mountain.
Yes.
But I challenge you this week, when your mountain shows up, and it will, Just say, "I am." Because of who you believe. I believe in the great I am.
Yes.
And I believe that I am he is on my side. And I'm lined up with him. And trust in that God. Trust in that God. Tell him, "I am." Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together with your people that belong to you, that are called by your name, Our identity is found in you. It is the mystery of the kingdom. It's what the angels looked into, but you revealed it unto us, that we are in you, Jesus, and you live inside of us, and our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What a privilege we have. Let this word that is alive, let it be alive inside of us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. These glasses, they mess up my flow. I'm not talking about my cool flow. My cool flow left me several years ago. I'm just talking about my flow right here. It is a pain to put them on back and forth. And the only way to accomplish not having to do that is to take my contacts out. But then I can read everything perfectly, but y'all turn into a blur. So I will survive. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. I used the scripture passage last week, but I'm going to get right into it with this. Let me just say this too. Jesus in Isaiah, when it was prophesied about Jesus being our sacrifice and that he would be wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace would be upon him, and with his stripes we would be healed. You remember that? We know this, that we don't like to talk about our sins. And religion will try to cover up sins. And since we don't want to talk about sins, we'll talk about our works. It works really good for religion. But let me tell you about the Jesus that you serve. Is that, yeah, we understand that he bore our sins. But do you also understand that he bore our shame? So we don't have to be shameful? That's good news. So shame, it's not in his game. He's got that covered. So I just wanted to let you know. So because I've got a pretty strong word here this morning, but I want you to know this is not a word for shame. This is a word for sin and shame, but it's already been dealt with, the cross of Calvary. It is for us. Why did he bear that? So we wouldn't have to. Why did he bear my sin so I wouldn't have to? Right? Okay, let's get into this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14. And I said how all my life this I understood this verse of scripture right here to be used about marriages. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. That's all I heard it basically preached at. But I can tell you, it's way bigger than that. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. So I just want to stop right here and say this. This is not saying that you can never have any interaction with an unbeliever, because you would have to be out of this world for that to take place. But the Bible says we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Okay? So this is really about separation. But he's called us into holiness, and that not being a list of rules, this holiness that he's called us into is a type of separation where we're called out from our former way of life. Everybody here is an ex-something. And some of us may not be ex yet. I may be speaking prophetically, but I'm going to be an ex something. If I'm believing in Jesus, I'm an ex something. But I'm to come out from being that. I've said it all many times before, is that when we get saved, he gives us a new home. But the problem is if we keep showing up at our old address, right? So he's calling us out. So he says, therefore, he just got through saying, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord, your former way of life. And here's some instruction. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So perfect holiness or perfect separateness or perfect setting apart is accomplished on two dimensions, being cleansed in my spirit and my flesh. And I've told you many times, I grew up with old-fashioned holiness church where there it majored on my flesh. Oh yeah, we had the Holy Ghost times, we had the speaking in tongues and all of those things, and I'm down with all that. I believe it. But it weighed heavy on the outward appearance of my flesh. I came to a meeting last night and I had shorts on, and some y'all, all y'all had to endure that. But there were times when I was growing up, if I'd had a pair of short pants on, he's back in the world. He's back in the world. Back in the world. I remember when we first got into ministry, we went from South Carolina, where it's 98 degrees and 100% humidity, to Arizona, where it's 110 degrees and 10% humidity. 10% humidity. Sorry, Arizona. 10% humidity. But let me tell you, there's a difference in heat. When you get into, and 110 did not feel, at 10% humidity, did not feel like a 98-degree day at 100% humidity, and you can't walk out of the door and check your mail without coming back and your back being wet. Out there, one of the first things people told us is, drink water, drink water. You'll have a huge headache. You'll be dehydrated and didn't even know it because it just evaporates. You don't sweat much. You see somebody sweating in Arizona, you don't see that very often because it's evaporating so fast. So I grew up with a heavy awareness of my flesh. Did anybody else grow up like that? I mean, like, and in those days, you know, we get offended real easy in our culture. But in those days, there were people that were at church on purpose to offend you. They had this uncanny sense that you weren't saved because something you did this week. And you wearing that necklace. I remember a serpentine necklace. I wanted a serpentine necklace so bad. And they told me that. You know what? Y'all know what I've done for COVID? I let my hair grow out. But I can remember finding a necklace when I was in college, and it was too tight. It was almost like a choker, but I wore that thing, and it was a girl's necklace. But I was proud until I was embarrassed. So I didn't know nothing about jewelry, but I thought, man, I bought a fake gold Rolex watch. Am I red? I feel red. I had a gold nugget bracelet. That thing's about that wide. I felt like walking around like this. Can I tell you, I did not match that before I met you. Can I tell you, God is good? Because she would have ran the other way. But sometimes you don't get the real revelation until you look in the mirror and you see something and you're like, I don't fit. I should have known when the Rolex was $20 and the gold Rolex, the X-Roll, it was green. The green is what gave it away. The $10 was a huge clue, but the green gave it away. But all I had been was starved in some areas when I just wanted something that let me know that I could do a little bit of fun. And can I tell you how freeing I am now to understand this life that God gave me is for me to live and for me to enjoy. And I mean, I laugh at what I wear to church. Most people that visit, they're like, well, that guy, bald-headed guy's nice, until they found out that he's the guy that's preaching. But I'm so far past that. I know this. As they identified Jesus, he had to be identified when they came after him. You understand that the kiss from Judas, that was an identification. That's so we know which one he is. He was so common that they had to identify him with a kiss. And then he dropped the I am he on them. That's power. Can I tell you that there are things, though, that when he says, come out and be separate, he means it. And can I tell you that's his great love for us? I want to tell you this. When he tells us words of instruction like that dig against our flesh just a little bit, he's saying that because he loves us. That's because of his great love for us. And some things are set in stone. We're not to murder each other. Because there, you know that there's murder. You know, there's this kind of murder where we shoot someone or stab someone to death, run them over with a car. There's that kind of murder. But there's also this kind of murder that we do with our tongue. Can I tell you that I grew up and those kind of things, that kind of murder had a seat at church, if I can be honest. It had a seat at church. It had a place at church. And it looked holy because the dress was long enough and the hair was long enough. The sleeves were long enough. But the tongue was too long. It's like the dress down to here, sleeve down to here, neckline up to here, but the tongue out to here. But the tongue got a pass. And perfect holiness is being cleansed on two dimensions, spirit and flesh. But that made an opportunity for the flesh to hide out at church, but bad spirits like strife and jealousy and envy and someone that just wanted to control. And those places had seats at church. And there were people that would call you out. People would call you out if you were a woman and had pants on at church. Somebody need to go talk to her. Yeah. And long hair. I don't even know why I got into this, but it's kind of fun. This little trip down memory lane. Women, if they cut their hair, you remember what they called it? Bobbing. Bobbing is when you go fishing and you got a cork out there and you're watching it. I never got bobbing. They did not get their hair cut because they wanted to be called Bob. Earrings and makeup and going to the movies and going. My brother is as ornery or slightly more ornery than me, and he's a pastor too. But he was in a church, and there were some folks that were mean. And we had this meeting that we went to every 2 years, and it was when all the churches in the denomination would get together, and the pastors, not the churches, but we had camp meetings once a year. All the churches and the people got together, but every 2 years, all the leadership got together in this great assembly. And they found themselves in places like Dallas and Fort Worth and big cities like that. And my brother was getting ready to leave the church that he was at. And he and I walked into the restaurant. He goes, "Oh, John," he said, "there's my pastor." And he's like, "Watch this." He went into the restaurant, and the restaurant had the big bar in front of it. And all of them's got it now. He went into the restaurant, had the big bar in it. I mean, like right there, like they, like you sit down and you wait to go back right here. And then there's the bar right there. And I'm sure they weren't going to sit at the bar, his pastor. But they didn't. They saw my brother come in. They didn't know who I was, but they saw my brother come in. And he acted like he didn't see them. But he walked in. He's like, "Watch this." He walked in and say, "You're the pastor and you're the pastor's wife," with some of their friends. This was good. Man, it was good. And he walked in like this, like, okay, here we go. You're the lady that takes the beautiful hostess. Of course it would be Amanda. So he walks in like this, just like right past them. He goes, she's like, "Can you be, would you like a table?" And he looks, he goes, "Oh, this is a bar. I can't eat here." There was his pastor and his wife right there. Like, we're 1,000 miles away from home. We can give ourselves a little grace here. But ain't nothing like getting called out. And I grew up under that, getting called out. Can I tell you, there's nothing fun about being at church and someone calling you out for something. To be fair, if we were going to do that, we should just all just stand there and say, "Just shoot me. You know, I'm guilty. Guilty." But could it be that we've taken it so far that we've given ourselves a pass on the other side? Don't shout me down. But we've come so far in this grace movement that now that this we're just living by grace. And but His word is still His word. That's the only problem with this thing, is that God's word is still His word. And it doesn't matter who signs off on it, His word is still His word. And I'm not coming to police you, and I'm not going to show up in your bushes and your shrubs with binoculars and a notepad and texting Christine. Yeah, I was over there. Yeah, we'll get them Sunday. It's all right. We'll get them. Right after the offering, we'll get them. That's a good one, wasn't it? That's a good enough laugh right there. I should just let y'all go. We go home saying we had a good day. But I ain't done yet. Because there's this word that we need to deal with. And it's called mixture. 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 And this word says, let us purify ourselves. You know what that means? That the person that would point out your sin or your flaw, they're not in on this. And your pastor, he's not in on this. And your pastor's wife, she's not in on this. This is you. Because it says, what contaminates the body and the spirit, it says purify yourself. In other words, handle your business. Handle your business. No, nobody's going to look and nobody's going to know. I preached the last 2 weeks about, you know, the adulterous woman who took the anointing oil components and took part of them and sprinkled her bed with the aromas. And we talked about how she said, "I have peace offerings in my bed." We talked about the children of Israel after God had delivered them out of bondage. They start sacrificing to a calf. And they say, we have peace offerings for this calf. And they start saying, this calf is who delivered us. This is the God. This is what the word says this. They said this. This is who brought us out of Egypt. Imagine that. God did all of this to deliver. And there was no calf involved. But they make a calf. And they say, this is what brought us out. But you know what we've always had a problem with? Fashioning on a God that agrees with us. Fashioning a God that agrees with what our flesh wants to do. And the answer is found in Mark 4. And the fundamentals of it is so strong. Just 20 verses. 20 verses. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables. He taught them many things by parables. We were talking last night about some of the things that Jesus did. Do you understand in John there's a scripture that says, I reckon that if everything that Jesus did was recorded on paper, the world would not have room for the books that would have been written. He was not a God of a few things. He taught them by parables. And in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those who are on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? That is so powerful right there. And I have preached this many times, but I was drawn back to this. And Jesus is saying fundamentally right now, if you don't get this teaching, how will you get any other teaching? I mentioned something last night. I keep saying that because we had such a good time. You were able to be here last night. It was so wonderful. So many people shared. But the church realm as a whole has gotten very high tech. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But we've gotten so available that you can get anything that we preach on a podcast or on a download or on a YouTube or on a video, it can be recorded, and the production value is amazing now. We have phones now with cameras in them that the picture quality is better than what you could pay for years ago for a wedding photo album. That's how that. So we have the best quality of of everything, or we can get our hands on it. But when it comes to the Word, what we want is another revelation. Is another revelation of what God did. And we want to be smart, and we want to sound smart. My dad told me years ago, before he died, he said, "Son, you know, going into ministry," he said, "people now that you preach to are going to be smarter than you are." He had that revelation. He said, because they've got access to everything now. And they're studying, so you better be studying. But this is what the Lord was saying at that point. No new revelation if you don't get this. No new revelation. It comes back to simple, this is my word. Will you obey it? Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. If I had to be honest, I would say I've probably found myself in all four of those places at different times in my life. I'm not saying, come over here to me where all the good soil's at. I'm not saying that. It's a foolish statement. It's not true. But I understand this without just giving you scripture. Can you trust me if I tell you that there are some scriptures? There are some scriptures that talk about the last days. I believe we're in them. They say the love of many would wax cold. And it said that there are people who are scoffers and people who deceive that will continue to deceive. So that makes me have to ask a question. Who's feeding you? If you keep your ear to people, you're setting yourself up to be deceived. And most of us, I certainly can't disassociate myself from my emotions when I hear things. Because I'm human just like you are. And things stir me up and things get me. Can I tell you that we're falling into the plan of the enemy when that happens? It says that there's a scripture that talks about that they hatch snake eggs and they weave the web of the spider. That's in your Bible. Can I tell you that they're simply put, they're traps for you? That if you fall into them, it's a hard way out of a spider's grasp. And a poisonous snake. Our own Brent, several weeks ago now, got bit by a copperhead on the toe. He couldn't even walk for weeks. How many spider's webs or cobwebs would we have to see and take the broom to and wipe them down as I speak? As I speak. It's hanging on it. You can't see it, but I feel it. You know what needs to happen next week? Let's prophetically. This again. Why? Because the spider's going to keep putting that web out there. If all we do is broom away the spider web, but we don't deal with the spider, somebody's going to grow tired. Somebody's going to grow weary. And it's not the spider, because the spider will do what the spider does. It's not God's plan for us to just continually deal with the webs and the snake eggs. Those are things actually are supposed to be under our feet by now. Can I throw those two words in there? By now. And this is the word of the Lord that we have to realize, that it can reach a point if obedience is not a part of our life, then disobedience is a part of our life. And if we do not obey, we can want a new revelation, but there may be no new revelation. And I can promise you, until obedience occurs, there is no new revelation. You got to go right back to the last thing that he said. You can try to move on past it. You can amen the preacher and get excited about a revelation and write it down and go home and tweet it or sound smart or whatever you want to do with it. But if disobedience is in your life, according to him, can I tell you those places where he says this? He says, if you don't get this parable, how will you get any other parable? You can get real close to the third soil. You can get three steps into the soil that are all failing, though. But I just want to focus on that last one. It says this, the deceitfulness of wealth and the love of other things, or the desire for other things. One translation says the love of other things. You know, can I break that down for you, what's going on there? They love God, but they love other things. They love God. There's no question they love God. But they love other things. And Christine gave a word at the end 2 weeks ago. And the sin was this: anything that seduces the bride away from the bridegroom. I don't know how to handle that, because I can only handle that for me. And me telling you this is not a new revelation. It's still his word. It's really right there as a part of, if you don't get this, how are you getting the other thing? And by now, Jesus, his word says that we're light in this world. And we're the salt of the earth, and we should make a difference. I'm not trying to get on to you this morning. I'm trying to help you see there's a place where he wants you to be. And the way to get there, you take part in it. Whose destiny is it? Yours. I've been preaching on Wednesday nights about about being predestined. That whole word has a lot of believers just, I mean, they get stuck right there. I'm not going to get stuck about predestination. Even though it is a contradicting word. Pre means before. Destination means last. I mean, pre is first, so I've got a first and a last. But they're not working together. this is what Jesus did first, is he went to my last. He's not confused at all about it. Before the foundation of the world, he fixed it for me. All I've got to do is obey. But let me say this. All I've got to do is obey. And that simple statement, there's a whole lot of work involved in that. And you know what I've got to disobey? My flesh. I got to disobey me. I've got to disobey my want to. Do you know that God has a want to? That God has a want to? It's called his will. I'm preaching early for Wednesday night, but this is what it said. It said, before the creation of the world, he met with himself. He had a meeting with himself, and he decided that the lamb would be slain, but he also decided that we would be in the lamb. That's good news. He took care of the last thing first, if I will obey him. He did that work for me, and all I've got to do is fall in line with it and obey his word. Kristen, come on. I wish I could preach it and we get it and woo, because we would be. But it goes on to say this. I want to get it right. I want you to hear this. This is, I said that God had a will. He had a want to. Will you bring up Ephesians 1, verse 3, 4, and 5 in the NKJV? I've got it in a different translation, but Ephesians 1, verse 3, 4, and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I'm not going to repeat what I just said. Having predestined us. Wait. Go to verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Another translation says, according to the counsel of his will. So God was there with himself. And this is how amazing God was. There was something else that was present, the counsel of his will. Because it said, according to the counsel of his will. So right there in the middle of that is everything that God wanted to do. Everything that God wanted to do was right there. Everything that God wants to do in your life right now,
yes,
it was right there way back then. You say about finding our purpose, and you said not our purpose, it's his.
Oh yeah,
so good.
Not being focused on what is God's will for my life, but what is God's will,
and take the "for my life" out of it.
Yeah what is God's will?
Just that. In the very beginning, he included us in the lamb, and then he sat under the counsel of his own will. So what do we need in our life? His will.
Yes.
And if we get caught up in this idea of I'm going to do something great for God, it's going to be real hard to separate some selfishness in there. I mean, just being honest with you. It's hard to separate ourselves from the spotlight. And at the end of the day, we're standing there with our hand frozen to the sword.
Yes.
God, you did it, God. It was all you. A little bit of me. You know what I mean? But just His will. I believe that there are, like Joseph, I believe there are coats to wear. And I believe what I do, I'm just wearing my coat. But I believe you got a coat too. And I told Christine on the way to church this morning, I said, you know what? I wish we could get to the point. We were listening to some song that you guys are going to be singing soon. It was so powerful. I just heard the words. I'm like, I love that song. She said, we're planning to sing it. I said, I wish we could lay our flesh on the altar and put on His robe of righteousness and wear that coat. Tell you, that God who said, I am He, and those that were coming in opposition to get Him fell down, operating on that level, understanding who that God is, and that He lives inside of us.
Yes, amen.
And says, don't be afraid. And He does say, come out and be separate. And He says, don't touch the unclean thing. And don't contaminate. He doesn't want you. He's got His robe that He wants to put around you. His righteousness. Why? Because He still remembers the counsel of His will. And He will be accomplished. It will be accomplished in this world. I don't care what's going on right now. God's not nervous.
Amen.
Not nervous at all. I choose Him. I'm going to end it like this. Very sweet, but very powerful. Very strong. And I believe this happened in my son's life. It was an election year. And we were listening to something or talking about something, and because he's our kid, you know, preachers, they drag their kids everywhere. He heard what we were talking about. He brought such clarity out of the mouth of a babe. I mean, he was little. You know what I'm about to say. We got through talking about what we were talking about, and at the end, he cut through all of that. And he said, I vote for Jesus. I believe that was the day that he weighed it all out, even as a child, and said, I vote for Jesus. Just that simple. My vote right now is for Jesus. My trust is in Jesus. I'm not looking for a man on the way out.
Deonnie, will you pull up Refiner, please? Would you all stand? I just feel like this is such a good prayer for us in light of all that Pastor has talked about us today. Obedience, just simple obedience. That's the next step. If the altar's where you meet us, take me there. Take me there. What you need is just an offering. It's right here, my life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. The refiner, I wanna be consumed, I wanna be tried by fire. Purified, you take whatever you. Be tried.
Choice driven. decision driven. You are a result of your choices. It's going to be hard for you to blame a lot of things on other people when it was choice driven and you made the choices. When it was decision driven, all of our lives, decision driven. You're going to make decisions when you walk out of here. You're going to start with decisions. The enemy's going to come immediately because God said it. He's going to come immediately to steal the word. You're going to decide if you let him get it or not. That's your choice. This is what I can tell you about a choice-driven life. Choose wisely. Wish I had a shirt, I would say, choice wisely. I would say, decision wisely. Get it right. You're the recipient of your future. According to God's word, you take part in your destiny. All you got to do is obey. Choose wisely. It's all on you. I'm not trying to dish it off on you. It's just what it is. It's your choices. Nobody will stand in front of the Lord with you except for you. Choose wisely. That's not fear-based. That's truth-based. Just choose wisely. I'm saying it with a smile on my face. Choose wisely. You know what I hate talking with people about? The result and the aftermath of their bad choices. Because a lot of times they're angry. A lot of times they're mad. A lot of times they're upset. And then they're bitter. And this whole process goes on. But at some point, they got to circle the thing back around and deal with the choice. Where did the choice, who made the choice? Where did that choice, who said the yes there? You understand what I'm saying? You understand what his word says? Choose wisely. Father, help us with our choices. You're so gracious and you're so good to us. And you drew a boundary line at the very beginning of the thing. And you said, if we don't get this, how will we get anything else? No other revelation. It's not that you're not a God of revelation. You reveal things for such a time as this. You hold things out for us. You hide things for us that are a gift to us at the right time. You expose those to us. And it's such a wonderful thing. You reveal things to us. But that revelation is followed and predicated with obedience. When we obey, you open up hidden things. And as we obey, you open up more hidden things. And it's the part of the counsel of your will you have for us. Lord, your word says even the works that we do, you created those too a long time ago for us to do.
Yes.
We struggle when we're trying to be in your purpose, but we have not yet obeyed you. God, take us back to step A. Step one, part one, obedience. It's better than any sacrifice. It's obedience. Obedience to obey is better than sacrifice. Thank you, Lord. And to man, he said, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil, that is understanding. Give us that understanding, Lord. Come away from the things that make the choices that are going to produce the harvest, that are going to produce the desired result in our life. In Jesus' name. Lord, seal your word up. I know the enemy, according to your words, right here, ready to steal this word. God, we seal it up in Jesus' name. Let this seed of this word hit the good soil of our lives. Let it produce a massive harvest. 30% would be a massive harvest. 60% would be an incredible harvest. But 100-fold? Oh, Lord, it's possible in you. And I claim it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you as you go today.